Blog Talk Radio.
Don't know who I'm talking about. If you are a kid of the 70s,
'70s baby, growing up in the '80s, and you watch the WWF as it was known back then, the World Wrestling Federation, now known as the WWE. World, I don't even know what the hell the E stands for. World Wrestling Entertainment, I think that's what it is. There was a whole lawsuit about, I think it was the World Wildlife Federation or some shit like that, and they brought a suit against the WWF talking about the name and patent infringement and all that type of stuff, so they changed their name to WWE. Yeah, a sidebar, but yeah, it needed to be said. Well, anyhow, China, as she was known on WWF, or she was also called the Ninth Wonder, was 45 years old. She was found unresponsive in her apartment in Redondo Beach, California, on Wednesday. Now, the cause of her death is still under investigation, as is the cause of the other person that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But this lady was a trailblazer. Now, before she came on the scene, there was GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Again, I was a 70s kid, but, you know, I was growing up in the 80s, so all this shit is, like, stuck in my mind. And GLOW was truly the first platform for female wrestlers. It was all females. Some of the, a lot of the managers were women. Some of the promoters or managers, if you will, were male, but it was an all-female platform. It was really, really cool, actually. It did suck. Let's be honest. It did suck because they didn't have the money of a WWF, a WWE, whatever. But it was good for the time. It really was. It was a nice alternative. It was good to see women come out into their own and do their thing. When China popped on the scene through the WWF, they really catered to her. They understood that audience was going to be a growing audience sooner rather than later. So they put a lot of emphasis and effort into making sure that her character was successful. And you know, she was. She was the she started out wrestling in 1996, she'd be of the year. She performed in the Royal Rumble, King of the Ring, and she's the only undefeated women's champion in WWF/WWE history. You know, like, good-looking young lady, tall. She was very muscular. She graduated from Tampa University, and she did her thing. Like, she lived out her dream. Don't know what caused her to have that dream. I never read her book. She did write a book. I never read her book, but for whatever her reasons, she was very successful in living out her dream, and I salute her in her life as I salute her in her passing, you know, because she was very important and inspirational to a whole lot of people. Speaking of inspirations to a whole lot of people, the biggest story of the week, and yeah, it's the biggest story of the week, Prince passed away. Now, this touched me in another way. And, you know, not only because of the Dave Chappelle's, Charlie Murphy's, Real Hollywood Stories and all that type of stuff, and talk about that in a couple of minutes, but I was actually fortunate enough to actually meet this cat in person. It was all by accident, totally by accident. Wasn't even supposed to be at the place that we met up at, but it happened. The story is not too long, but I'm going to tell it, even if it's fucking long or not, because it's really bananas. So I'm at work, and my boss's boss comes and says, "Hey, you need to take a vacation." And I was like, "I'm good." You know what I'm saying? He said, "No, seriously, you need to take a vacation." And it's to the point of, if I see your ass here next week, we're going to have an issue. So I go back to my desk. I look online. I purchase a ticket to go to California. My uncle and my aunt lived in San Diego at the time. And my man, Kurt the Flirt, he was living in South Pasadena. So I'm like, shit, you know, hey, I've never been to L.A. to party. I've always been to L.A. to work. Never really been out there to party. So let me just take a nice little vacation. I'm good. So I fly out, hook up with Kurt the Flirt, and his neighbor is a dude that pulls security at a lot of the clubs in L.A. So we get together, you know, because Kurt's like, yo, I know you want to hit it. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I want to hit the streets. Get out there, see what's going on. Cali lifestyle, let's do it. He's like, cool. So the neighbor takes us to this one club first. We get in there, and it's whack. Straight up whack. Very few people. It was just dead. So we leave there. We go to Tommy's. That was the first time I ever had a Tommy's burger. If you're ever in L.A., get a Tommy's burger. They actually have two locations in Vegas. One is on the Strip. The other is off the Strip. If you go to Vegas, not L.A., get a Tommy's burger. It is so, promise you, you will not be disappointed at all. So we hit the Tommy's. You know, he's like, yo, all right, man, I guess we'll go over to this other spot. I really don't want to go there, but they always have a nice crowd. I know you all have a great time. Let's do it. So I'm like, yo, where are we going? He's like, man, you know, I'm going to take y'all to the House of Blues. So I was like, how is this a second option? How is going to the House of Blues a second option? Are you freaking kidding me right now? But looking at it from his perspective, he's there all the time. You know, again, he does security for a lot of the clubs. So it's nothing to him, right? So we get in, and it's nice. It's not too crowded at the time because we got there a little early. It's not too crowded and whatnot. This is mad cool. So we're going all through. I'm amazed because they have all the, you know, people that come through, their pictures on the walls and all that type jazz, autographs. And I'm just like, damn. You know, see this person that cool. So Kirk Flirt, his neighbor, bought his girlfriend. And they had a tarot card reader in there. So she was like, yo, I want to get my fortune told. So it's like, okay. So we all go in there. As she's getting her fortune told, we just bugging out. We having a good ass time. Just laughing, hanging out, cool. So afterwards, I'm like, yo, let's go outside and sit on the porch. She's like, cool. So there's actually a porch to the daggone club. I can't remember if it's in the VIP level or not, but there's actually a porch. And the reason I said that is because when you go to the House of Blues, they give you this wristband, and the wristband tells security where you can go and where you cannot go. Well, obviously, because we had the all-access joint, right? So we outside on the porch just chilling. This limo pulls up, and it stays there for a couple of minutes. I'm like, yo, I wonder who's in the limo. It's like, yeah. So we just talking, having a great time, you know, just talking about life and all this stuff. And his brother gets out the limo. I'm like, damn, dude looks familiar. Couldn't place it. Just couldn't place it. So limo sits there a little while longer. Door opens up again. Young lady gets out the limo. Like, oh, my God, she's gorgeous. Like, damn, she's gorgeous. So my man is like, yo, who is it? I was like, I don't know, but this chick is gorgeous. About 2 minutes later, another guy steps out the limo. And I'm looking, and I'm like, damn, who the hell is that? Oh, hell no. My man's like, yo, what's going on? I was like, yo, don't bug. He was like, oh, what's up? I said, done. Prince just got out the limo. He's like, yo, stop playing. I said, I am 100% not bullshit. So his man, he and I were both looking at the street. So he was like, yo. And his girl was like, are you serious? I said, yes. She's like, yo, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I was like, yo, let's just go back inside. So because we got there so early, we just happened to pick a booth in VIP. Well, they were sitting right next to us. But again, since we were with his man, everybody knew his man. When security came to cordon the area off, they didn't lock us out. They just cordoned off both spots and just let it flow. So when we sat back down, we realized the first brother that got the limo was Lenny Kravitz. Spoke to him. Prince comes in. Spoke to him. We chilling all night. Fucking crazy. Absolutely crazy. Had no idea. Talking about a dude who was genuine. You talking about a dude who was funny. You talking about a dude who was cool. Man, that was Prince, man. And I didn't know him intimately. You know, this was just a chance encounter type situation. So I can't speak to how he is all the time. But from the accounts of the people that I've been reading up on, hearing throughout the news, and on various sites, it's right in line with what I saw that night. Cool cat, really down-to-earth brother. I mean, really down-to-earth brother. This cat was so down-to-earth, it was like, I can't believe I'm just chilling and having this type of conversation with this dude right here. Like, it's amazing. But it happened. It straight up happened. No bullshit, no filter, no filler. It actually happened. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So when I caught the news, like everybody else, I was shocked. You know, I got a text message because I was at work at the time. I got a text message. It's like, yo, Prince is dead. I'm like, Prince who? I'm thinking it's one of the royal family over in the UK. You know, so I'm like, oh, snap. And then I've got another text message like, Purple Rain no more. Like, what the hell? Like, are you serious right now? How did this shit happen? And then, you know, everyone's with their speculation about the drug use and this, that, and there's been, I've heard HIV. Come on, you know how people are, man. They gonna make up shit just to hear themselves talk or just to fill the vacuum of lacking actual information. They're gonna fill the vacuum with whatever. So, you know, to hell with all that. Look, the fact of the matter is Michael's gone, Luther's gone, Whitney's gone, Aaliyah's gone, Prince is gone. You know, I just saw a meme a couple of seconds ago. It said, you know, it was of Stevie Wonder, and the caption was, let's bubble wrap this cat because he all we got left. I'm like, God damn. I'm between Stevie and Lionel Richie, and do not sleep on Lionel Richie. Please don't sleep on Lionel Richie. And R. Kelly. I know, but you can't knock the man's talent. And R. Kelly, that's all we got left in my generation. You know, and Stevie's actually before my generation. So for my generation to be 100, it's only R. Kelly. You know what I'm saying? Because Whitney was still in my generation, so I considered her. So it really is only R. Kelly that's left. And like, that shit is like, wow, dude. You know, Gerald LaVert passed away. I thought he was the one to pick up the torch and carry it for Luther. He's gone. Just like, damn. This is not the year to be an entertainer. It just isn't. So many have left and died this year. This is not the year to be an entertainer at all. It's rough. It's rough. One listener just hit me and said, Sade, I can't put Sade in that category. And I can't put Sade in that category because, though she's a great singer, and what she really is, the level of talent that Prince has, that, had, that R. Kelly have, no. You know, I mean, that's like saying Maxwell. Maxwell's a great singer. That's like saying Music Soul Child. Music Soul Child is a great singer. But the instruments, the sound, that ear, and all that, I mean, to hip-hop, this would be the equivalent of losing, I would say, Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc, and Dre, like, in the same year. Like, that's just devastating. And Marley Marl. Like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Dilla died, and it was a huge ripple in the cosmos of hip-hop. To be honest, you know, so nah, respect her, but nah, not that low. Let's go with the facts. So on Thursday, Prince Rogers Nelson, that is his full name, passed away at the age of 57. He released 30 albums over his lifetime, had over a million plus record sales. He influenced folks from The Revolution, Wendy and Lisa, The Time, Sheila E., Van V. Six. These are his proteges. These are people that worked for him and that he worked with. He had many women in his lifetime that he was dating, rumored to date, so on and so forth. That list is long. It's Kim Basinger, Madonna, Sheila E., Vanity, Carmen Electra, Susanna Hoffs, Anna Fantastic, Sherilyn Finn, Apollonia. I even saw it somewhere. He was messing with my baby mother. That's Nona Gay. I love Nona Gay. Never going to hide from that. You shoot on me like that. I didn't even know. But it hurt my feelings real bad. And but he had a lot of loves throughout his time. And he married twice. His first marriage was in 1996 to Mate Garcia. She was a backup singer and dancer. They had a son. His name was Boy Gregory. He was born on the 16th of October in 1996. If you remember about him, and if you didn't know, he had Pfeiffer syndrome. That is a rare genetic disorder. It's a premature fusion of bones to the skull, which prevents further growth of the skull and affects the shape of the head and the face. He only lived for a week. He passed away at that point. They divorced in 1999, and then he got married again. He married Manuela Testolini, whom later married, what's the pretty boy name, Eric Benet. They married in 2001, and then they divorced in 2006. So he had a full life. He was a vivid reader, as I was reading one of his books. In 2001, he made a donation of $12,000 to keep the Western Branch Library in Louisville open. It was the first library, full-service library, in the nation to offer their services to African Americans. He put some money into the coding, black girls code. Sponsoring some hackathons directly out of his pocket. So he was definitely a philanthropist. Not really ahead of his he was ahead of his time musically. I have to consider him a music genius, without a doubt. But he did a lot of stuff for folks that he kept on the hush. And again, you have to respect that from that man. We lost Jim this week. We really did. And he was touring tirelessly. You know, he did the On the Run thing, part one, and then he did part two. And he was just moving, man. This is something that caused him to have and be in need of hip surgery. He's been in need of hip surgery since 2005. But he refused to undergo the surgery unless it was a bloodless procedure. What most people don't know is that he became a Jehovah's Witness in 2001, and Jehovah's Witnesses typically do not accept blood products. So that was a point of contention for him to have the surgery that really there was not an answer for. Now, again, he's been needing the surgery since 2005. Namely because, you know, he's very short and he wore heels almost all the time. You know, walking around in heels, doing all the moves that he did on stage, so on and so forth, that's going to cause you some damn pain. You know, sooner or later, something's going to have to give, and it was his hip, not his hip, his hips. I'm sorry, he needed hips surgery. So, don't know what the end-all be-all was, but again, we lost the gem, and I just wanted to say thank you, sir, for contributing to my life in ways that I would never imagine. As a kid, I really didn't like music, believe it or not. Couldn't stand it. It was noise to me. It was just noise. I was an avid reader. I'm still an avid reader. And it was a distraction to me. I preferred the television on in the background, and I could, you know, blend that in and blend that out however I need it fit. You know, music was that beat and that rhythm. It was It wasn't until I guess I was about 8, 9 when I really started appreciating music. And it wasn't until I guess I was about 13, 14, I would say, until I really started appreciating Prince. I went to see Purple Rain when it came out, like most people. I thought it was a good movie. But I really didn't appreciate him. You know, he was very flamboyant, the buttocks out in the pants, and the shirts with the ruffles and all that type of stuff. I was like, man, what's going on with this dude over here, you know? I really didn't know. Really didn't care to know. I stayed away from it.
But as I got older and matured, I gravitated to more and more of the lyrics in his songs and the genius that it really took to make those songs happen. And it's like, wow, this dude is very, very talented. And I started digging on him like that and have dug him ever since. You know, I bought the majority of his albums. Not all of them. I'm not going to say that I owned every last one of them. But there came a point where I started buying his albums, and I religiously bought whatever he put out. I became a fan. I became a follower. And I believe in put my money where my mouth is, or where my heart is. So that's what I did. So, you know, that I definitely wanted to thank him for that. Though he's gone, I feel that he hears all of us. And if my small voice is to be counted amongst the all of us, then I can live with that, and I'm cool with that. On Friday, Earth Day was on Friday, the UN asked that countries from around the world sign on to the landmark accord that came out of the COP21 climate summit negotiations last December in Paris. According to the UN, 155 countries would have signed on to the accord to include North Korea. This accord calls for limiting warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius, which, yes, I had to go and Google that, is 35.6 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial levels. You know, good and goddamn well, most of us in the States don't know how to convert Celsius and Fahrenheit. I had to Google that one. That's more or less the end of fossil fuels this century. In order to accomplish that goal, we're going to have to get off of our dependency of fossil fuels. The accord calls for the ratification of all who sign it exactly 1 year from Friday. It could be considered full and implemented international law no later than 2020. The U.S. and China have gotten on board with this, though both in the past have stood against the legislation. However, everybody's on board now. Countries are to be held accountable to one another, which is deemed a critical step in the path of making this thing a reality. Since December, India has approved 6 solar projects. Vietnam has said it will stop building coal plants. China has announced a 5-year plan that will set stricter climate targets. The U.S. has halted new coal leases on federal land. J.P. Morgan will stop financing new coal mines, which is big, that's huge. And Saudi Arabia said it would be an oil-free state within 20 years. Now, that actually struck me the most as I did the research for this story. In 20 years, Saudi Arabia says it will be an oil-free state. How is that government going to make money? Saudi Arabia is known for its oil. How are they going to make that money? That I'm very much interested in seeing and getting a better understanding of. I mean, it's like Orlando saying in 20 years, we're going to kick Disney World out and we'll be solvent. How? When you think of Orlando, the first damn thing you think about is Disney World. How? How are you going to do that? I want to see that one. That's huge. That is huge. Another thing that continues to plague us as we stand with our brothers and sisters in Flint, the water crisis there continues. It's been ongoing since the 25th of April in 2014. We're talking almost 2 years to the day. On Monday, it will be 2 years since this catastrophe has started. This week brought charges against 3 state officials, Mike Glasgow, Stephen Bosch, and Mike Prisby. Mike Glasgow is a laboratory and water quality supervisor, now the head of the city's utilities administration. Stephen Bosch is the district water supervisor of Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and Mike Prisby is a district water engineer for the state of Michigan. And since January of this year, 50 lawsuits have been filed in the Flint water crisis. One federal case got dismissed last week because of judicial dispute about a class action federal lawsuit got dismissed. It's going to come back up again, and it'll be filed accordingly, and we'll be talking about that soon. Professor Mark Edwards from Virginia Tech, the researcher who exposed the true and full effect of what was going on, he said as of last week that the lead contamination levels still continue to surpass acceptable federal standards. His recommendation to the residents of Flint are to continue to use bottled or filtered water for cooking or drinking. I'm critical of the president because I think that somewhere along the line, the federal government needs to step in, declare an emergency, and keep it moving. However, I understand the hesitation because this truly is a state matter. And until you can get or prove that it's a federal catastrophe, it does remain a state matter. So though I feel for the people of Flint, and I feel that the president should have taken a stronger role, I understand why he has not as of yet. And while I don't agree with it, I do understand it, which sucks, you know, because this is something that needs to happen and get fixed now, and it's not. The fact of the matter is, for decades on, we're going to be talking about Flint. The children, their children, the adults, the animals, everything, we're going to be talking about Flint. I don't know what could have prevented this. You know, this is greed, to be honest with you. It's greed. The Detroit Public Works warned them about changing the water, but the rates that were coming out of Detroit were higher than they could get from somebody else, and they cut corners in order to save a dollar. With the financial crisis looming as it did in the state of Michigan, steps needed to be made. I just don't think this was the best step to take. You know, and let's remember that this whole thing really got a huge boost because the GM plant decided to switch its water from Flint's water. If the GM plant didn't do what it did, this thing really would not have got taken off like it has. And shucks, that was like 6 months in. They didn't decide to flip their water until like the 1st of October in 2014. So, sad. It's a sad day, man. It's a sad-ass day in America. And it's been a lot of sad days for the past 2 years. Hopefully, there will be some type of solution and resolution that comes about sooner rather than later. So, in an unrelated story, possibly, Sasha Ivana Bell, one of the first people to file a lawsuit in connection with the Flint water crisis, was found dead on the 19th of April. Foul play, maybe. Foul play, maybe not. She and along with another young lady were found dead in a townhome. There was an infant in the home who was left untouched and is now in the custody of Child Protective Services. But I'm sure that there will be some lines drawn in that mix, and we will definitely keep an eye on that to see what comes about it. I was hoping to speak with some folks in Flint today. However, they are out doing what they need to do in order to get water, baby wipes, Clorox wipes to the folks on the ground. So while we're missing out on their on-the-ground knowledge, I totally understand and I support them. So wrote them on Twitter and Facebook earlier saying that, you know, we fully support you and what you're doing and your efforts. So it is what it is. I think Wednesday was 420. For those smokers in the audience, happy Christmas. Happy 420 day. For those folks living in California, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Maine, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, Rhode Island, New Mexico, Vermont, Michigan, Arizona, New Jersey, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Connecticut, Mass, New Hampshire, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, and New York. All those states have relaxed restrictions, if we can call them restrictions, laws, on marijuana usage. I know that you are extremely happy this week, as you can spark up a little more freely than a lot of the other folks throughout the nation. Canada plans on legalization of marijuana by the spring of 2017. There are a lot of benefits to doing this, not only the money. And those states who have done it are really benefiting from the money. I mean, it's a freaking cash cow. Cash cow. Budget surpluses off the charts for those states who have gone full-fledged into legalization. But the benefits to people in general are weight loss, cancer treatment, depression, treatment for folks with autism, ADHD, glaucoma, lung health. I'm a little asthmatic, so I don't know. I might need to consider that later on in life. Anxiety, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, arthritis, PTSD. The VA has finally approved medical marijuana as a test for veterans returning from the desert. Headaches, STDs. I'll say that again. STDs, speech problems, skin conditions, and a host of other things. Medical marijuana is the move. The sad thing is, in a lot of states that go for legalization, they limit, and I said this a couple weeks ago, they limit those whom can get in the game as far as growing marijuana. That's bullshit. That is straight up bullshit. So before you go out and you pull a lever or you press a button in your state to legalize marijuana, go do some digging, do some understanding of that legislation, and see who it really benefits. If it doesn't benefit you, and you, not you specifically, but you as the small person, you as the lowest person on the totem pole, and it only benefits major corporations or multimillionaires, it's not the thing to do. It is not the thing to do. It's not the right thing to do, because everyone should be able to profit off of something as natural as marijuana without hesitation. If it's going to be legalized, everyone should have an opportunity to become a part of that boom. And this holding out, holding on for investment groups or mega corporations or whatever, that's bullshit. That's not right. That's not right at all. Sad news, some other deaths to report. In Ohio, 8 family members were found dead in rural South Ohio. They were all shot in the head execution style. 3 kids survived the attack. A 4-day-old lying beside its dead mother, a 6-month-old, and a 3-year-old. With the Roden family, as they have been identified from the police, was targeted, according to the Pike County Sheriff's Office. I read that and I was like, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, you think? If 8 people are shot execution style, that's personal. That's not random. That's personal. That's very, very personal. That's a message. That's not a, well, you know, we're going to go in here, we're going to rob the house, and we're going to shoot some people. That's a message. Somebody's sending the message. So whomever they sent the message to, I hope they got it. If not, that's just not a good look. In Georgia, 5 people were shot at 2 different locations. All happening in Appling, Georgia. Have no idea what the hell it is. Didn't even look it up. Like, oh, I ain't heard about it. That got to be some little itty-bitty small town. But in the first location, 2 women and 1 man were killed. And in the second location, 1 woman and 1 man was killed. In the first location, Rita Mae Dent, who was 85, Kalia Clark, who was 31, and Roosevelt Burns, who was 75, were killed. In the second location, Lizzie Williams, who was 59, and Shelley Williams, who was 62, were killed. The shooter has been identified as Wayne Anthony Hawes, who was 50. He later on killed himself. Now, I told you all about this before. That's some down south shit. Like, I don't know a lot of dudes up north that kill somebody and then turn around and kill themselves. That's just not what we do up top. If we going to take you out, ain't a lot of us going to kill ourselves. Not saying that that's a good thing, but I've never understood that. Why are you going to kill 6-7 people, 2 people, 1 person even, and then turn around and kill yourself? What that kind of sense does that make? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Everything is not for me to get. And really sad news, in Delaware, Thursday, Amy Joyner, a sophomore at Howard High School of Technology in Wilmington, Delaware, lost her life. She was in a fight with another student, a minimum of one other student, in the bathroom. It's alleged that some other students jumped into the fight, and the injuries that she sustained during the altercation took her life. According to the students, this was over a boy. Don't know what that was all about. But touch your children, love your children, and remind them that there's nobody worth dying over when you talk about a male-female relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend type situation. No, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. I mean, if someone is in your life and bringing you that much drama, then you need to drop their asses like a hot potato and keep it moving. It's just not worth it. It's like, you know, the RNC's being weighed down by Donald Trump right now. Like, they tried to get rid of his ass, and they just couldn't. This week in Florida, they're down in Hollywood, Florida, at their annual meeting. And Rance Priebus, if you don't know who that is, he's the chairman of the RNC, he called for unity of the party. His exact words, it's essential to victory in November that we all support our candidate. This goes for everyone, whether you're a county party chairman, an RNC member, or a presidential candidate. Politics is a team sport, and we can't win unless we rally around whoever becomes our nominee. There's a Stop Trump movement that everyone knows about. It's gaining momentum. Cruz wants Kasich out of the race because he feels that Kasich is stealing some votes from him and some delegates from him. So he thinks that if Kasich gets out, it's just a two-man race, and most folks are going to default to Cruz versus Trump and or Kasich. This doesn't really hold well because Kasich is only one damn state, his home state. And then he came in second in New York, so that doesn't add up mathematically to anyone outside of Cruz's head, but hey, that's what Cruz wants. The previous went on to say, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, a shot directly at Donald Trump and his supporters, reminding them all that 1,237, still the number of delegates needed to win the Republican nomination. Getting to that number, I don't think is going to happen because Cruz has won some nice side states. I think it's going to be a broken convention. I think they're going to fight it out on the convention floor. I think it's going to a second ballot. And I pray that the Republicans put forward someone with some sort of sense to truly be their nominee. And I do that as an independent because I think the masses deserve a valid choice and not crazier or dumb and dumber. I don't think that. Crooked or more crooked. I don't think we deserve that. I think we deserve valid choices when we go in that ballot box and we either push a button or pull a lever. So, I know this whole democracy thing, it sounds wonderful. Doesn't always work out that way. But it is what it is. This is an election year. The ugly shit comes out. Speaking of ugly, the last story for today, my Wonderland, Costco, is thinking about a rate hike. Reported that they are looking at serving the basic members, which is the Gold Star membership, taking the price from $55 a year to $60 a year, and the executive membership from $110 a year to $120 a year. This in the midst of them switching from the Amex system over to Visa. American Express and Costco split ways last year. Yeah, last year. The announcement was made around the summertime last year. That was a huge blow to Amex because Costco was truly its saving grace. But for whatever its reasons, it decided to go another way. And they have partnered now with Visa. So other changes, I'm sure, are to come. However, the stories have constantly broke over the past couple of weeks about the president of Costco, the CEO, whom buys his clothing still secondhand. He's like, I'm not spending a lot of money on clothing. But, you know, young folks out here trying to break their backs to pour money into Ralph Lauren or Mike and Jordan's pockets, whom really is not benefiting from you buying his sneaker, by the way, because his check is constant. He got a freaking a deal with Nike, and they're going to pay him the same amount of money no matter what. And this is when it really was he and Nike. Now he's pretty much struck out on his own. And that's a different story. But, yeah, this dude, multimillionaire, crushing it, is buying his clothes from Goodwill, so on and so forth. But you are putting your three-month-old in Jordans and Ralph Lauren. Yeah, let that shit sink in and see how much sense does that make. Hey, I'm going to call a spade, and that shit's dumb. But my opinion, I can have it just like you have yours. I'm not upset about it either way. That's all we have for you this week, family. Next week, we're going to end the month, hopefully, with a couple of twists and good surprises. This is a National Poetry Month as well. I've been working with some folks trying to get some things together so we can have a very spoken, very well-versed, I should say, show for next week. The first show in next month, though, is about financial planning. You need to tune into that. This is not about your day-to-day. This is about building your legacy. And the folks that I have coming on for that, I trust with my money. And that's why I spend my money with them. And as we've noticed these deaths, and, you know, I had a classmate lose her husband over the weekend. Totally unexpected. He's younger than us by a good number of years. And, you know, we're out having a great time at a school function. Saturday night, she gets home. He never comes home. You know, that's huge. That's a devastating blow to anybody. And it's truly a devastating blow to any family to lose such a critical piece in that puzzle, in that formula for success. So, you know, in her pain, in her grief, she's comforted, though, in knowing that they did what was necessary in order to prepare for this day. There was a life insurance policy. There is a will. All these things are done, taken care of, check, 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 boom, good. You know, you're 40-something years old, you're 50-something years old, you're 30-something years old, you're running around here with children and no damn will, you're running around here with children or assets and no will or no life insurance, anything like that, you're doing something wrong. You know, you're bouncing back and forth to Miami or Toronto or L.A. or Jamaica or wherever the hell you bouncing back and forth, doesn't impress me if you don't have a living will, some life insurance, so on and so forth. Dog, don't talk to me. I mean, get on my level. And that's where I'm at. And this is where we all need to be. Seriously, I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being honest. We all need to be there because there's nothing worse than having a family scramble trying to bury your ass because you were selfish and didn't plan accordingly for your end of days. And we are all guaranteed that end of day. So get up, get out, and make it happen. Until next week, family, you all be safe. Take care. Love you all.